give you some head. Give me three margaritas, I'ma put it in my puss. Give me four margaritas, I'ma put it in my tush. Give me five margaritas, I'ma get some fun. Give me five margaritas, I'ma put it in your bun. Give me one margarita, I'ma open my leg. Give me two margaritas, I'ma give you some head. Give me three margaritas, margaritas. Give me three margaritas, margaritas. Give me three margaritas, I'ma put it in my puss. Give me four margaritas, I'ma put it in my tush. Give me five margaritas.
All right, you can only say hi one time, and then you gotta go and watch the Coco.
Go ahead. Look, Ahsoka will crash this party at some point.
It's just she will talk your ears off.
So. Oh, she will too. Her mommy put blue on her hula and the hair leaves.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, girl. Hi.
Say my name is Olivia.
It's Olivia.
Hi.
Hey. Hi, Olivia.
Say how you doing.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
They ask, how are you?
How are you?
No, how are you?
How are you?
Okay, say I'm good.
I asked you first. Ooh. Okay.
All right.
Inquiring minds want to know.
No, honey, I'm about to start right now.
That's what I'm talking about, mothering. There it is. That's it right there. Real talk. There it is. We're going to talk about mothers. Something just happened in Star Wars, so we gonna talk about the mother of Star Wars and what's happening. Bite
the dust? I just wanted to know, did anybody see a news about the this Galaxy Edge? Did that really shut down?
Yep, the Galactic the
hotel.
$8 million hotel. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Bye bye.
It's closing. It was too high priced. Like, it really was. It was outside of everyone's price range. Did you see those beds? Like, how am I supposed to reverse cowgirl on that tiny bed? Come on.
Well, I mean, they were like capsule hotel beds. They weren't like
Yeah, they were like luxury. Cruise beds. They weren't, it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. And it was like $5,000 for the weekend. Like, there's better ways to spend
and
$5,000.
Apparently, it was only like 2 days. So like $5,000 for that, that's way too much.
That's like a crackhead price. That's a crackhead weekend. Like, if you really riding high on cocaine or crack, like, that's a weekend there. But it shouldn't be for Star Wars. Come on, guys. Do better. I guess I should start the show.
Yeah, since we're already...
Right? You know how this goes. Hey, everybody. Yep. It's me, Maria, Galactic Hot Girl, and Maria the Podcaster. Hey, and welcome to what might be the last episode of the podcast for us, by us, for Black women, known as Sisters with Sabers, that I'm aware of. Yeah. So we're changing. We're growing. It's a season of change. And I'm so excited. Thank you for coming along with us today, listener. I guess we'll just go around in a circle and introduce ourselves. And then we'll talk about developments, things that are happening.
Who's going to go first? Me? All right. Hi, everybody. This is G. Hope everybody's doing well. If you hear me make any weird noises, it's because I am... playing Zelda right now. So, ooh. Hi.
I guess I'm next. Hi, it's M from Pink Milk, formerly from Pink Milk, and now of this beautiful show that I have been so kindly invited onto. So it's a real pleasure and an honor to be here. And I hope that everyone out there enjoys what I have to say, because I'm really excited to talk to you. And yeah, I hope that you enjoy hearing from me.
Hey, everybody. This is Keita from Keita's Black Alliance. Please subscribe, like, comment, share the videos if you care. I also have my book club called the Resistance Book Club on the BookTube channel. Also do the Star Wars books, as well as Black authors and other POC authors. So just always come through, subscribe to that channel if you just want to read books and comic books. So happy to be here. Always happy to be here. Can't wait to talk about what we have on the lineup. Thank you and stay tuned.
Awesome. Well, I guess I'll go. Hi, I'm Dez. I am from 60 Minutes. I can't get my tongue working here. I'm from 60 Minutes, soon to be in a unannounced project yet, so keep your ears tuned. Something I can't wait to announce in the future, but I can't. So, and I'm very happy to join in with all of you lovely people.
Yay! So Sisters is changing. We're growing. I don't know what we're going to turn into. We'll have to come up with a new snappy name for this eclectic group of people. I don't know, but I'm excited.
I'll ponder it.
Do it. Ponder. Someone ponder.
I'm pondering.
Right? I can't think too hard. Something will start smelling like it's cooking in here.
Oh, before I forget, a belated happy AAPI Heritage Month.
Hey! Yay! To our Asian brothers and sisters, we love you.
Yes. Love you.
Yeah. And Simu. You look good, baby.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he do. If he needs something, I'm here.
He's from my neck of the woods.
I'ma catch it.
Did you see him on Selling Sunset?
Yes, ma'am. I synced that. Like, oh, sea moves. Look.
All I can think is, it's a good thing that he got a Marvel project, because Canadian television is not going to give you Selling Sunset money, honey.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. I guess I should get to the topics. What are the damn topics? What are we talking about?
We are talking about Jedi Survivor.
Hey! Let's talk about it.
Okay, so has anyone played it besides me?
I have not. I have zero playing time into it.
I watched my stepkid.
I don't even own a console that can play it, because I'm not that fortunate. I have a Switch. You know what? When the fuckers decide to get a game out on the Switch of that caliber, then I'll answer your question.
I think at this point, if you need to get a new console, the cheapest option is the Xbox.
What about the Xbox 360? Like, does that
help?
Because I got one of them.
No, it doesn't.
I have a PS4.
Yeah, see, I tried to play
God of War on that thing. It almost exploded.
Ooh.
Wow.
I threw mine out. I was done. I'm a PS girl, and I should have just stuck with PS. But yeah. I watched the game through for Survivor. So I got through up to part 4. And so I got to watch the rest of it. But as far as I've seen, it looks hella good. Like, if I didn't read Battle Scars, I probably would have been confused as to what was going on.
Mm-hmm. You know what, though? I didn't read Battle Scars yet. I'm going to. It's actually on my e-reader as we speak. But it's a novelization by Sam Meggs, who's a really cool, like, non-binary author. And is it the story of the crew of the Mantis, like, after the events of Fallen Order, but before Survivor, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. It's a fill-in. Okay. Yeah.
But if you had watched the trailer, I promise you, it was just like, I now know what's going on. Like, I can see why they are where they are right now. And it helped put everything into perspective. Now, as far as the book is concerned, yeah, I have my issues with the book. But other than that, it helped fill in the gaps, especially with Marin. I hope I said her name right. The Night Sister.
Yeah.
It filled in a gap for her. Very good. I do have to say it was very good LGBTQ representation in it. And Siri, and I like how Sam really got into Cal's head a little bit more, because there was like certain parts in the book where he was talking to Siri, and that dialogue was actually probably the best dialogue, because it dives into that whole Jedi, you know, what is the attachment, what is this that I'm feeling, you know, that type of thing. So yeah, it helped fill in the gaps. And it's in on what's the pilot name? Jesus, I forgot. Slipping me.
The pilot, Grease?
Yeah. Yes. And it filled in that, because the minute I saw the trailer, I was like, I better see what I'm supposed to be seeing. And sure enough, they showed it. So it literally helped filled in that. But the video game is stunning. Like, it's beautiful. Very beautiful.
And it's fun. Like, I found the difficulty level was perfect. And I love the story setting of difficulty is excellent. I think because it gives you the experience of combat, but the combat is like so low stakes. Like I played through the entire game and I never died in combat ever. I only died from like falling off of stuff or missing jumps.
So you didn't have a problem fighting, you know who? Because I don't want to give it away in the beginning.
Oh my God. No, it was fine. Okay. It was fine. It was okay. But here's the thing. I found that the story difficulty setting was the best sort of version of the easy setting I've ever played on a video game. So like I got into gaming late and I didn't have a lot of experience in different types of games. So, you know, there's like side scrollers, RPGs, first person shooters, all these different types of games, right? And when I just started out playing Final Fantasy X. That was the first game I ever like seriously invested time in and finished. And so I was really an RPG girl for a long time. And then I got opportunities like friends recommended to me or lent me, you know, like stealth games and first person shooters that they loved, you know, like Dishonored is a great stealth game, Assassin's Creed, or like Mass Effect, which is a first person shooter. And so I had experiences where like I do play video games on higher difficulties now, especially to get trophies, because there are some that are like difficulty dependent. But when I was first getting into them, I would kind of ease myself in by playing on an easy setting just to kind of get the lay of the land. And I found that Survivor kind of had the friendliest kind of easy setting. I mean, because the thing is like it's great when games can be sort of modular and you can kind of choose how much thought you want to put into them. Like the design of combat in a game, it can kind of nudge it in a certain direction where like in order to be successful at a higher difficulty level, you have to be like tactical and you have to like make the right choices in like what kind of equipment you have or what kind of skills you invest in or what kind of fighting style you have, you know. But the thing is, if you don't want to it can be a lot of fun to put a lot of time and thought and energy into those things. And there's a lot of people that thrive off of that, you know, like highly detail-oriented people really enjoy that kind of tactical planning. But sometimes you just want to play a game, you know, like, you know, like this is why Animal Crossing is so popular, because like not everybody wants to, you know, know exactly like what piece of armor to equip so that they don't get pounded by a troll, you know, like.
So, yeah, I totally get it.
It's really great in that way.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to finish the game?
So it took me 58 hours. I probably could have done it in a little bit less, but I spent a lot of time wandering around because I am a completionist when it comes to collecting. Like the first thing I did was I collected all the fish. I had the cleanest tank for so long because I had all of the fish.
So, what about the savers?
Oh no, I'm working on. I'm still working on.
8 hours.
Yeah. Wow. That's not even.
I couldn't
that's
do it.
Long.
You're better than me.
That's long. That's long though. Like honestly, I could have like if I wanted to like keep it snappy, if I just done like a straight run through, I probably could have done it in like 35
for those
to
of
40?
Us with ADHD, that's like 14 lifetimes.
Right.
How do you know I don't have ADHD?
this is hit different. But yo, I mean, come on. I mean, that's like, if you're.
Yeah.
I bought the system. Like, I actually bought a PS5 so that I could play the game. I mean, well, I wanted an upgrade anyway, because we have, like, we had the 4 was in our main area, mm-hmm. and I would game on that mostly. And then we had a PS3 in our bedroom, and Sarah used it like a DVD player and, like, to, like, stream stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can have, like, the Netflix app on it and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And, but it was, like, the fan was so loud and it was so old, mm-hmm. and they took away the PlayStation Store for PS3, so, like, you can't even buy new apps anymore for it. Like, they basically just bricked it. It's so old. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I just... Sarah gave me permission to take some of our savings of, like, fun money and buy a PS5. So I did that, and we moved the PS4 to the bedroom instead. So now it's, like, not nearly so loud. Now she can watch Real Housewives of New Jersey and peace. Ah! Oh,
a woman of culture.
Yep. Of refined taste.
Okay, we have never watched any of the Real Housewives shows ever. Like, we went, and they've been on for what? Like, for how long? Like, 25,000 years.
They've been on for over a decade, because the OC is the original.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've not watched Sarah has gone, like, totally hardcore.
Wow.
She has started watching. She's watching all of them. She's going city by city and watching each city, like, from beginning to end. So she's burned through Beverly Hills.
Commitment.
Right.
Atlanta. She burned through Atlanta. And right now she's working on New Jersey right now.
Okay. I heard the Potomac one is supposed to be, like, very wild.
Really? Yeah. Even wilder than New Jersey? Because those people are trash.
No. It's like, Potomac got some colorism issues.
Oh, Lord.
They need to work
out. Yeah. Like, I heard there's a lot of snooty, light-skinned behavior in that one.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And every time I'm always wondering, why are the dark-skinned sisters... Mm. trying so hard to be friends with them? If they don't want you, then move on. Mm-hmm. I can't deal with that. Even when I was in school, I don't like that. Don't do mm-hmm. the colorism thing with me. Same. I like all
it's
people.
Lame.
It's so ridiculous.
It's so lame. There's just not enough of us for us to be separating like this and making distinctions like that. And it really does not matter. It true. Really does. No. At the end of the day, I'm just as much of a Negro as anybody else. It is right. not because I'm married to a white man. That's not going to stop somebody from calling me the N-word. Right. Mm-hmm. When I go to stores, they treat me very differently when my husband's present as opposed to when he's not. Okay. So I'm at the back of the line right with you. There's no special card I get to whip out, like, nothing. Like, I hate that stuff. I'm like, yeah, girl, we all in the same boat.
You have to, like, if you watch Potomac, you'd be sitting there very disgusted by how they acted.
I would be, yeah.
And that's especially with cute. The fact that they don't really address it.
Mm. See, I would have called somebody out.
Yeah, you know.
I would have called somebody out. They would have had to throw me out. Mm-hmm. I just got done with the Queens of R&B.
You did?
Escape and SWV. Yeah.
That
I'm going to see SWV in August. With Jodeci and Drew Hill.
Ooh. Oh, that should be good.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, girl. Really should be. You get Drew Hill, which means you get Cisco, which means you get the thong song.
You get all six of them. One stage.
However many there are now. Who cares? Who cares? All good.
And I just finished Young, Famous, and African.
I haven't seen that.
Yo, that's the show. That like that.
I gotta check that out. Show.
And then now I'm on Selling Sunset. So
okay,
gotta watch that.
I think we finished Bel Air too.
Show, girl.
Me either. I'm not into reality, but the Queens of R&B kind of spoke to me specifically. But yeah, I'm not really big into reality TV either. But since we're talking about TV, let's do a Mandalorian recap. Thoughts, people.
It was good.
Oh God, where do we even begin?
Right.
I'll have to sum up whoever just said that. In all, it was a great season. Provided so many opportunities for the future, wrapped up so many storylines neatly again to move better into the future. Some great you know, excuse my, can we curse?
Of course you can.
Thank you. So mental fuckery on behalf of.
You better curse.
Okay.
Cursing only.
With some fuckery on behalf of Favreau and Filoni with that episode of The Spies. You know, how they had every single person against each other. I mean, in our show, and how many people discussed it where they were at each other's throats. It's Axe Wolves. It's the armor. It's all this. Someone blinked twice on an episode 3 years ago, and they could be the culprit. And it all it turned into, they went biblical on our asses. And we're like, oh, it was all along this entire season right in front of us. So just little things like that. Fan service, you know, kind of just kind of jerk people along. I think that's what pissed most people off near the end, who felt the most disappointment. All the people who bitched and complained about the final episode were who? The ones who had spent so much time speculating and trying to think about the ways. There was a bunch of people who felt that they were disappointed through it. But I think those were the people who had spent so much time speculating that their speculations didn't come true. And so they were let down. But overall,
gamble. Okay. Who doesn't know that?
Yeah, you know? I mean, but overall, the story writing, you can see where they're setting so many, you know, pillars in the ground to move forward with the movie and even the next season, probably before the movie. But they didn't spill the beans on the mythosaur. Everyone thought, oh, the mythosaur will come out this season. Nah, you know, babies just stand, you know, under the water there. Baby will come out when it's time. So just, I loved it. I've spent more time speculating with myself, with, you know, other people, with my kid. Ah, it's just,
it was good. Season. And Lizzo, are you kidding me? Like, we got so much good stuff. Like,
and her music too.
Man had some main character energy. Oh my God. I think Bo-Katan is the Clone Wars character that I've been waiting. I thought it would be Ahsoka. I think it's Bo-Katan.
Oh no.
The Clone Wars character that really stepped out of the shadows and into the main character Star Wars fandom space, where people now know Bo-Katan's name.
It's nice now not have to masturbate to a cartoon now.
So anyway, I'm gonna step right over that. Katie Sackhoff is beautiful.
She is. She's gorgeous.
That's funny. But that wig is a whole nother issue.
Okay. Tragic. That hard.
Very
front.
Tragic.
That's very much the opposite of what lace.
Those people just looked at her and said,
She's That's beautiful. She can get away with it.
I'm like,
what Lizzo was wearing, though, that train. Oh, it was brilliant.
So cute. And like so many nods to the prequel trilogy. Like, I wasn't ready for Christopher Lloyd to be like such a devout follower of Count Dooku. Like, oh my God. Like, and really, I feel like Bryce Dallas Howard fed every generation of Star Wars fan. In that episode, the prequel fans ate, the original trilogy fans ate, the sequel trilogy fans, they had a little bit of something in there too. Like, I feel like they really did a great job this season of uniting everybody, bringing everybody together.
Yeah.
So that we can move forward together. And I think that's what they're trying to do, is get us all on the same page. And everybody's dreams aren't going to come true. That's okay.
Because they're pulling from so much now. All this talk about the New Republic in that episode made me want to go. I listened to Bloodlines, you know, which is happening both, you know, and I'm like, oh, so what you're doing
Gray,
Bloodlines is the Bloodlines in the middle between what you get in Force Awakens and where you're at now in that episode with Pershing and all of that. You're like, you're giving it a direction now. And I think this season of The Mandalorian, you had so many people bitched again about that split episode. Why does Pershing happen? They needed just to put it into that little pod, because they're going to start planting this a little forward. I mean, you know, it's going to all arc into the Force The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But how they're going to get there is but Bloodlines, though. Fantastic. So if I'm going to recommend it to anybody,
10 out of 10.
But listen to the audible, listen to the audiobook version of it. I recommend listening to any type of Star Wars book. If you can listen to it, I recommend it. Full entertainment experience.
Yeah. But, and you got to get original John Williams music too.
Yep. And then, but yeah, Claudia Gray, nice work. Mm-hmm. Nice work.
She did that.
Amazing.
She stepped her game up in that one and Master and Apprentice. So you talk about Count Dooku.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. The other books are now the Aftermath trilogy. We're going to really start getting into the season of The Mandalorian. You really got to start now. It's pointing a lot of people now into, you know, into the Aftermath trilogy. You know,
yeah, because it's running right alongside that.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Not only that, we do have a character from the Aftermath, which is in the Boba Fett, Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
He's from, he plays one of the characters in Aftermath.
That's
from
right. That's right.
Did he die?
Yeah.
No, Cobb Vanth. Right now, he's swimming in. He's swimming in Boba's little bacta tank. He's taking a nappy nap.
Thank God.
Because Cad Bane didn't kill him because he shot him somewhere more in the upper. You know, but if you saw the closing credits at the end of the Book of Boba Fett, was Cobb Vanth was
in the bacta tank.
Yeah, and we had predicted in episode one of this season where. I'm drawing a blank. Grief Karga was saying, I need a marshal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first thing in the back of my mind is who's taking a nap in the back of the tank. By the end of this season, they'll come to help save the day. And then Cobb Vanth will get the job as that. But right. Cobb Vanth came from the Aftermath trilogy.
So they wrote, you know who out so quick. I was like, hey, and we on to the next one. And
trash
we
bag.
On to the next one.
God. Yeah.
Like, yes. Thank you,
but then there's even people saying her ass was one of the dead people on the shuttle when Gideon was getting kidnapped.
Cool.
Yeah, they're saying there's a good chance that she was the one of the ones murdered in that shuttle. I'm like, okay, fine,
all right, I'll take it.
Force works in mysterious ways.
Okay.
Sometimes people just get God.
Okay.
I was really concerned that it would be a lot of cameo-itis in this season, and they did it really, really well. Like, they juggled so many characters in a way, and locations, like, big locations, like the Senate floor. You know what I mean? Like, big stuff that we ain't seen since the movies, and they did it with finesse. And I just want to say, they did that. And whoever did that final episode, Rick Famuyiwa, you did that. You should be doing a Star Wars film. Like, the cinematography was just next level. Not to say that everybody didn't do their thing, but I mean, like, some of those shots could go one for one right next to episode 2, next to episode 7. Like, I'm looking at it visually and it's bringing me right back to the prequels, bringing me back to A New Hope, bringing me back to, you know, it's just like, it's incredible. Like, you get that droid arm turning and it's like, I'm right back to A New Hope. Right. And then you get the Babu Freak, like, and I'm right back to 8. You know what I mean? Like, they just.
No squeezing.
Right. Not he just squeezing. Went bam, bam, bam. And he just laid that stuff down beautifully.
But what do y'all think when IG-12 just went cut right across the screen? I mean, what did you all think when you first saw it? Would you like?
I laughed so hard.
It was so great.
Anyone who has a toddler knows what that whole scene was. Yes, yes, oh, no, yes. No, no, no. Yes. Put it down. No, no. Like, we're in this stage. Like, okay.
But it gave Grogu that sense of mobility, that sense of urgency to be able to make, but, you know, even to the point where him just standing in and separating Axe Wolves and you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You just that just being able to have that urgency to stand in and to just separate them, but it was just so cute
that was a big moment for Grogu, like accepting that he's part of the tribe and he has a role to play, and you know, just stepping in immediately. Like, that's not something an outsider does, so he's finally like taking his place among his people, which is beautiful.
But here's a question. Remember when I think Din said, should we step in? And he said, neither one of us can step in because it would show some type of favoritism.
Right.
How is it that Grogu was the one who was able to step in and to convince both of them?
because out of the mouth of babes, right? Like when it comes from a child, it's always true, right? It doesn't matter what it is. When Ahsoka opens her mouth, it's usually the truth, right? Whether I want to hear it or not, you know.
And also because
too, so yeah.
And also because Grogu is still a child, like he's not a foundling anymore. He's on his way to becoming, you know, a Mandalorian, but he's still a child, and so therefore his loyalty is to the entire group.
Right.
He doesn't have a faction. Whereas, like, I think the point was that with Din stepping in, he would have represented a faction taking a side.
Right, I agree.
Whereas because Grogu is young and he's considered communal property because in Mandalorian society, all of the children belong to the collective, which is one of the reasons why, like, saving a youngling is, like, such a huge deal, right?
And then the neatest thing about that scene was... You know, Grogu broke up the fight between Axe Wolves and Paz. And as soon as the giant beast crashes down, who are the two people who grabbed on the IG-12 to jet it out to safety? Paz and Axe Wolves on either side. They didn't even like hesitate, like, and just felt that compelled to do it. So what about that respect to say, we'll listen to you and then we'll save your ass?
Not only that, but also, who was it that saved Paz's son?
Bo-Katan.
Okay, because I just Mando. Thought it was just like, he you know, was you gotta there. Protect the kids. And the kid, you're not gonna fight in front of the kids. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you don't fight in front of kids. That's the number one rule like, of being Bo-Katan a parent.
Is still a child, you know? And at the end of the day, you know, even on the perspective of Paz, he's still a father. He was still a father. He sees a kid in front of him. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not going to do that. All right, let's just, you know, squash the beef.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also a testament to how that ending happened.
Mm.
And right? I promise you, I was like, what about your son? Like, what about
Braveheart? Who went in?
Like, then I said, man, everything that just led up to this point, it made more sense as to why he did or the choice that he made, you know, towards the end. And, you know, man, rest in peace. Like, that was probably like I had so much tears coming out after that. Like, it just bothered me.
Who adopts Ragnar?
Ah, that's a good question. I don't know. I think he's old enough that he's ready to become a man.
Right.
I think he's going to stand on his own. He's going to try. I feel like he has a lot to prove, right? And I hope that he learns to dial that back because it could end up being his downfall. But I feel like he has a newfound sort of presence of pressure to become a man, right?
Because so he's a Vizsla. I mean,
he's going to try to go it alone, right? There's the pressure of the family name. There's the father who, you know, died for the way, you know. So I feel like he's going to try to go it alone and maybe fail in some way and need support.
What if because he's a Vizsla, he's force sensitive, like his last generation, and because of someone feeding him the guilt of you have to live up to that name. You've been short cheated. You've been all of this shit and turn around and... Bam, you've got your next, you've got the Grogu versus Ragnar little dyad of.
Yeah, I thought the kid was force sensitive. I really did. I don't know about y'all, but when he was standing in front of the big, huge crocodile thing, he looked like he was about to use some powers. Like, he literally looked like he was about to until they went ahead and pulled him away. Oh. I could be wrong, but that's exactly what I saw.
No. Hey. That's what this is about. It's no, about
I want to go check for that shit. That's awesome. Wow, that'd be.
I was thinking he was crapping his pants because that's what I would be doing.
He was just like this.
Right, because of a Vizsla. Right, yeah. I have to say, how many generations from being a Vizsla does it need to pass?
That's
and
a good point.
Think about the future stories between Grogu versus this, you know, Ragnar Vizsla. Mm-hmm. You know, I should be the ruler of Mandalore. It should be in my blood. You know, then because right now, who's look like ruling right now? My girl's ruling right now. But, you know, will Ragnar feel like the need to, as he gets to be more of a grown adult, fast forward 10 years?
Maybe.
Will he challenge Bo-Katan But, you know, now that they've got rid of the Titans, now because of the Darksaber being gone, how do you do versus rules of combat?
Is I think they're going to reforge it. They're going to reforge the Darksaber.
Yeah. So I actually saw something. I don't know how true it is, but apparently there is a droid that can actually put sabers together.
You talking about Huang?
Huang, yeah. He was in one episode.
So he's in
Ahsoka. He's in the Ahsoka trailer.
Yeah. And he might be the one to put the Darksaber back.
Okay.
In it was great the Ahsoka show.
Makes sense. It's coming out in August, so it'll be here soon.
Because remember, this is supposed to be like the huge end game. This is the Marvel like end game. The end game is Thrawn. Everybody has to come together at the end of this. And I just have a feeling that all of this is supposed to be connected, you know, into the Ahsoka, but also now that they mentioned the movie for Thrawn, I don't know how true that's gonna be, but all I know is that this is supposed to be an end game. So if they have the droid on Ahsoka, definitely that droid is going to put that saber back together.
That could be. I mean, I know the movie scheduled, movie's tentatively titled Heir to the Empire. They kind of teased it in the Ahsoka trailer. 2026, it's scheduled to come out. I don't know what the writer's strike right now.
Yeah,
I don't know how much that's going to push things back. But tentatively right now, a 2026 Heir to the Empire movie still allowing for a 2025 season 4 of The Mandalorian and allow at least another season of Book of Boba. You've got Skeleton Crew, which
we're gonna talk about
movie.
That. We're gonna talk about that.
So all this stuff's all getting wrapped around it, but I think somewhere leading to that, recrafting, you know, reforging the Darksaber in a certain way. I think those wanting to utilize the Darksaber to kind of reclaim, like, you know, reassert power will be the ones who try to forge it. I don't think Bo-Katan wants to forge it anymore, because I think everyone's respected her through battle and through her actions and everything, that you are now our leader. And they look like they respected her as the leader up there.
I think it's finally her time. You know, she tried many times before, but I don't think she was ready. And I think the timing has to be right for her. She cannot lead like her sister did. It's a different type of leadership. It's a leadership by example, not by, you know, motivation. You know, she's not an inspirational figure in the same way that her sister was. But I was just so proud of her by the end of it, because she's come so far. She really has in her story, and I'm so proud of her. But where's Corky, though? For real, Filoni. No, for real.
Did the armorer not say that Bo-Katan walks in both worlds?
Yeah.
Her dad was the Duke, okay? Mm-hmm. Her sister, so dad had, you know, sister walked one way of being a pacifist. You have Bo coming from Death Watch back, kind of merging
she's
this way,
warrior.
More of the warrior. So now she's walking both worlds. So, you know, you're gonna get the diplomacy part of her. And plus also the warrior protector type of person too. So maybe this is now the perfect blend, because her sister, where her sister failed, maybe Bo-Katan's Bo's strengths will help, you know, kind of that yin, that the balance to the force for every, you know,
absolutely.
Your pacifist plus your warrior, your diplomacy, your skill, your knowledge, perfect leader.
I think she's learned a lot about when to surrender and when not to recently too, like that, you know, not everybody has the same sense of honor, right, that she has. I'm really proud of Bo. Like, she really shined in this season, and I can't say enough great things about what Katie Sackhoff is doing. And for me, it's the same character that I watched years ago in the Clone Wars. I see no change. Where it is, Ahsoka is a completely different character. It's a completely different thing. And I feel like Katie Sackhoff has managed to keep that integrity alive for the most part, with the exception of her sister. Like, there's no mention. But I hope that they'll do the same with Ahsoka. They'll find a way to really bridge that gap. But yeah, Mando season 3 was dope. I just wanted to get everybody's take on it.
Oh, can I
go
give a mention? I'm at best. Come on, man.
Oh,
right? Right? The man
off of the stuff
who they said killed God Wars gets to come back and save the future of Star Wars.
So now we finally get the Grogu, but we only got part one of, yeah, I would say,
we don't
say
even know the whole story.
Yeah.
We but don't was, even know it all yet.
I just think that Rick Famuyiwa did a fantastic job for that particular story. And to bring
that
him on,
actor,
and
yes,
to give him the redemption that he needed. Because yes, when I tell you that man has suffered,
yes,
through the years.
Yes. Yes.
He needed that.
He needed
and
that.
And that was his stand-in. Oh, and that was
person.
So great. So, so great.
And they said the name, and I said, wait a minute. I know that name. Where do I know that name? I know that name from the Legends of the Hidden Temple show that they did back in the day that nobody paid no attention to.
I didn't know about it.
Everybody slept on that show.
No idea.
They slept on that show, and he came back, and it all made sense.
I saw his face, and I was like, I know this person.
Yeah.
Where did I see this person? And I just...
I was in literal tears.
But go through
on
the
my
story,
couch.
Go through the story writing. Go a little bit more. Look at those guards who are the ones protecting the ship. Mm. Okay, they were Naboo senatorial guards. Mm-hmm. Who are the two people sent the people? Padme and Jar Jar.
Oh,
so
Jar
that was, what if that was Jar
yeah,
Jar?
Because it
was
the
other
human people and the Gungans.
Right.
Oh, was there a Gungan? I missed it.
Yeah, Jar Jar was the Gungan. Mm.
Oh shit.
So he was one of the senatorial people. So what if Jar Jar was the one who sent the ship?
Oh my God.
Kelleran. So you're tying this right back through. So I'm of the belief that Jar Jar was the one who sent the ship so that Grogu could be escorted off. That's Grogu. That's
10 out of 10.
Jar Jar took care of all of that.
No notes. I have no notes.
I also too, could it have been, I don't know why, but I'm always at this point pretty convinced that Bail Organa has something to do with it too.
Right, that's what I was thinking, Bail,
because he's always the connected tissue.
But they were from Naboo.
Because he helped Yoda. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He helped quite of a few other Jedi's, and
he may
also
have
just
financed
remember,
it.
He helped Ahsoka too.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, he was, but it was still good. Also, too, wanted to mention the sound. Oh my God. The theme songs, the way they went ahead and reconstructed it so many times. And I think my best part is when they reconstructed it into a pirate theme song. And that was absolutely amazing. The way they transformed it. The Mandalorian can be construed in so many different ways, but the way they did it in that scene where they were on the ship and then you hear the guy, you know, as if he's the captain of the ship, and then you hear the sound of the Mandalorian theme song, but it's reconstrued as a Pirates of the Caribbean type of theme song. Mm-hmm. And it was just absolutely amazing. Sound editing, the theme song,
incredible.
Everything. They need
Pirate
to
King.
Be nominated for this, because that is literally hands down the best
Yep.
sound that I've ever heard, like just to be changed so many multiple times.
I agree. Pirate King, Gorian Shard, just the effect.
Right? Right?
That actor, I didn't realize he's if you want anybody watch Ted Lasso here?
No. I'm out.
That Sam's dad. That was,
oh, is that
Pirate
was?
King, Gorian Shard. I'm like, "Oh my gosh."
Yep. I'm literally and I turned to my partner, yep, and I'm like, this is why I fucking love Star Wars, is I'm looking at a talking Christmas tree on my TV show, and I'm scared of him. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, this is why Star Wars is Star Wars, right? Because this is the only place in the world where you can see a talking Christmas tree, and you're not laughing. You know what I mean? Like, they make it, they made you believe, okay? Mm-hmm. They made me believe for 5 seconds on my couch that the Mandalorian was in some sort of jeopardy due to a Christmas tree.
So I got a question for you.
Oscar the Grouch.
They ate
Oscar the Grouch. All right. So who wore it better? Sweater edition. Are you ready? Let's put your thinking caps on. Remember the episode,
okay.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Mm-hmm.
where you first met my girl Bo-Katan, you had the Mon Calamarian with the sweater.
Yeah, the L.L. Bean. Yeah.
Okay, so go to the episode with Pirate King Gorian Shard, and then you have the Ugnaught.
The striped sweater.
The Ugnaught was wearing the little striped sweater. So question, sweater edition, who wore it better? The Mon Calamarian or the Ugnaught?
The Ugnaught was Ugnaught. Next level because he was doing some Peter Pan shit that nobody caught. They did like a messed up Disney nod in there. And I was just like, you know what? This is why we can't fool with y'all. You know, because the costume department has too much fun sometimes. I'm like, you know what? That's what's wrong with y'all. We can't have shit that's nice because y'all just like to fool around too much. But I was looking at it, I'm like, ain't that the motherfucker from Peter Pan?
So that's been sweater watch. So we're all good now. Okay, so this little fashion moment, move on. Move on.
Sweater watch.
Sweater watch.
I'm over it. Somebody mentioned Skeleton Crew. And at this time, I would like to formally say to Lucasfilm, what the fuck? I was at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, and you couldn't have told me then that Steve Urkel was going to be in this piece. You couldn't have told me then. You didn't have to show no footage. That's all you had to say. That was all you had to say was we got Jude Law and we got Steve Urkel. And I would have been there. That's all you had to say. You didn't have to give nothing away. You didn't have to tell us who he was even playing. Like, you know, and like, he's a childhood role model for me. Like, Steve Urkel, right, who is not J.E.L. White, right? J.E.L. White is actually more like Stefan in reality. Which is why I have no desire to meet him, because I hold a candle for Steve, right? Because I was a Steve as a kid, right? I wasn't even a Myrtle because I wasn't like, I didn't have my pussy on fire yet. Like I didn't even have that going for me. Like I had nothing, you know, I was just a nerd. But, you know, it's like, oh my God, like two things I really love more than anything are coming together. And I'm so excited for J.E.L. to be getting work again. Like a legacy Black actor. Like, you want to talk about bringing Black folks into Star Wars? Like, go get our childhood icons. Yeah, that's a great move to make. You're right. You're right, Lucasfilm. You did that one. So that was a great job. I just want to point that out. And you really buried the lead. Please announce more of that and less of Christopher Lloyd. Thank you. That is all.
Can we get Linda Carter in Star Wars?
Woo!
Man, who can you see her... See her, well, I could see her being part of like a senator, like a somewhere. Senator.
She needs to come in as a role model to Mon Mothma. That's how we get Mon Mothma to who she is.
She Mon Mothma's mama.
Right. Somebody. She could have been her auntie. She could have been a rich auntie. Something.
Auntie Mothma.
Right. But that's how we get Mon Mothma to become who she is in Rogue One, because she's not that character yet. She ain't had it yet.
No.
She ain't had it yet. Somebody call Linda Carter at Lucasfilm. Just pick up the phone. I know she'll answer.
She can be a Mon Mothma's divorce lawyer.
Mon Mothma's divorce lawyer.
Oh my
gosh. You know,
I gotta tell you, the way that she turned around and pinned it on that guy, I was just like, damn, woman, that is good.
Right? She's a gangster.
But to have Jaleel White, that's awesome. I'm real happy for him.
I didn't know that. Very happy. That is awesome.
I think he was the voice of Sonic.
Oh, was he?
Yep, original voice of Sonic, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All those years ago.
Jeez.
I am so excited for him to be in Star Wars.
I'm so excited. I just only, what, just him and the guy who plays the father? It's like the only two that are like getting work.
Oh, yeah. Well, Laura had to take a step back for health reasons.
Yeah.
I know way too much about Family Matters. I do. I know way too much about the cast and crew of Family Matters.
I mean, even their reunion, it was right. Still good. Like, that was real
good. It was so sweet.
Good for all
it
of them to get, so get together. I was also happy that he finally, Jaleel White, was finally able to put a closure to the Michelle Williams death. because that actually hindered him a lot through the years. Really? As far as, like,
But that wasn't his fault, though.
And that's what needed. So she saw. So he saw a medium, and apparently, she is still attached to him.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was trying to tell him to move on. And he went into tears. Like, and I said, thank you. I think he needed that. He needed that. Cause I could tell that throughout the years, something just wasn't, he just wasn't in his right space and the right space of mind, you know, to kind of continue. And it was something, I think they had like, you know, like something that other people don't know. And she said that too. But she said something that only them two knew. And, you know, then just said, like, it's time for you to move on. Like, you did it. You did it. This is it. And so he did. So I was happy for that. But just to hear that he is getting work, tremendous. Because he deserved to get the work. I thought he was always really great. I just, you know. Yeah.
He was supposed to do an episode of Scooby-Doo, like a big special. And then it didn't get released. I don't know what happened. But it was supposed to be the big return of Urkel, the character. And it didn't take place. I remember being 7 years old, you know, dear Mr. Urkel, will you please come to my 7-year birthday party? You know, every year I would write a letter because I love that character. That character meant so much to me. Like, that was the first time I saw a black nerd just doing it.
Doing it.
And, you know, almost like me, like not aware that it wasn't cool. You know, I got all these Pokemon cards, boo, like, bam. You want a Charizard? I got you. Like, I didn't know that wasn't cool. Nobody told me. I never got the memo. And I was a Steve, right? Like, because that's just how I live my life. So. Yeah. That character meant a lot to me. So thank you, Lucasfilm, for doing that. I think that's how you get diversity for the next generation is you have to go back and get those people that really speak to our experience specifically. I love that. Other comments before we move?
As far as the skeleton crew, I thought what they showed at the celebration, thought that was awesome. Like,
they show? I didn't see anything.
Some bits and pieces. So they show like some of the kids, the group of kids that's going to be along with Jude Law. And it made me think of how the High Republic is because they call themselves in the High Republic era the Pathfinder team. And it made me think that that's what they are, a Pathfinder team that's out there exploring the outer rim. And then I said, I have a feeling that this is the tie-in of how we find out how Thrawn came out of where he was with Ezra.
And that come could to very find well out be.
That's exactly what happened. Because there's no way that you go ahead and put space wells in The Mandalorian and don't say,
right.
We're out.
And the bad guy in The Mandalorian, the first episode, the one, come, we want to drink. Bane, or is it Vane or Bane?
I think he said Bane.
Bane, the one who took off with in that episode, he's in Skeleton Crew. Whatever little clip I saw, Bane is in Skeleton Crew. So remember he said, I'll come back another time. They're going to bring him back in there.
Okay. I got to check out this footage wherever it is. I really have to take a look at that.
Has anybody else seen the footage of it?
It's just like you really gotta dive, like a deep dive. Cause they, you know, the minute that it was up, you know how they are. Lucasfilm, you know, takes it down.
Right down. Yeah.
That's a shame. But they kind of pitched it as like Stranger Things in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sign me up. I mean, come on, you could. Because Scooby-Doo, you could find a way to do Scooby-Doo mysteries, which is kind of like what a lot of the Thrawn books basically are. You know, you could do it in a Star Wars theme and I'd be fine to it. You could do most anything to a Star Wars theme and I'd be fine to it. Porn. I mean, any type of theme to Star Wars and just be really good. She was like,
what? That's what AO3 is for.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So our next topic is, let me pull it up.
Yeah, what is it?
When you ever need someone to make a topic come to an abrupt end, I'll just say porn and just we'll move on to the next topic. That worked. Porn. G's like, all right, next.
Next topic. Visions 2. Has anybody
seen it? I started it. I did not finish it.
I started it yet.
On Mother's Day.
I have watched quite a few of them, and some of them are incredible pieces of work. The artistic work is just amazing. I think one of the last, it looks like from the creators of Wallace and Gromit, and was almost kind of similar type of of work. The last one. Was it the last one?
No, it's not. No. So there's actually two that are done in stop motion. One of them is done by the Wallace and Gromit people. That one is called I'm Your Mother, and it's about a Twi'lek pilot and her mom. It's so cute. Like, she's at like a flying academy and she has to like race against her classmates. And it's
The one with the big junker and all of that. Oh, the detail in that is amazing.
It's amazing. But the very last one called Ao's Song, it is also done in sort of stop motion with felt figures, because they wanted to give it like a kind of like a childlike aspect, like a childlike aesthetic. So it, like, everything looks like dolls kind of, or like felted
teddy
dolls.
Bears.
It's, and the story is
beautiful,
so amazing. All of them. I loved them all. I was lucky enough that I got to see screeners, and it was just absolutely mind-boggling how wonderful they all were. Like, I found that with, it was kind of like a chocolate and peanut butter thing, you know, like, oh, you got peanut butter in my chocolate. Oh, you got chocolate in my peanut butter. It's like, I feel like seasons one of Visions was like, oh, you got Star Wars in my anime. You know, it was like, you took anime and you kind of shoehorned Star Wars into it, which was cool and highly enjoyable. And I did like it. But this season felt like taking stories that existed in Star Wars and rendering them in animation, where I felt like sort of the Star Warsiness and the story was the focus rather than necessarily the animation style, which isn't to say that the animation style wasn't amazing, because they're all incredibly crafted and just visual treats, every single one of them. And I love the way that each one takes such pains to represent the background and the cultural history of the studio that did it, like The Spy Dancer, how it was done by a French studio, and the visuals are so inspired by Art Nouveau. Like, it was just, it was incredible. Oh my gosh. And the story in that one, honestly, the stories of all of them were incredible and so touching. Like, just so moving. I loved how meta Sith was about art. It was like, you know, because watching it at the beginning, it's very clear that this is like a meditation on art and like the place that art can have in your life. And I think if you're not like, so some people might find it kind of weird or off-putting, and I feel like some people sort of started to watch Visions 2 and then kind of let it drop because they found it too weird. But for me, I think if you kind of approach that first piece, like the first few minutes of it, as like an expression of like what it's like to be an artist and to have that be like the main part of your personality, I think it's so beautiful that they engaged the artists who are making the animation to sort of be so personal about their relationship to visual art and their relationship to visuals, you know? It's so good. I just loved it. And it's, like, just what the story says about the transformative power of art and finding yourself, and it's the potential to go from a position of not knowing yourself and being in confusion and chaos to knowing who you are and drawing strength from that is such a moving message about humanity.
Yes.
And like every single one of the stories, like even the ones, like I found Screecher's Reach was such a huge mind fuck, because I guess I'm not going to super spoil it, but mild spoilers. I found it really disturbing because you see this character and you identify with her and you're watching her express all of these qualities that you think of as heroic. You know, you think of her as being a hero. And at the end, you find that it was all in the service of evil. And it's such an interesting statement about, you know, the possibility of how there's these qualities that we think of as universally positive or all can, you know, are always used in the service of good. And this is a story that puts them in the service of evil. And it was just like, I felt so like shaken after watching it. Like I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like I actually had to like stop watching Visions for a little bit after that one and just kind of let it sit with me because I was so like.
That one, you definitely needed a moment of silence because that one was just, it really did mess with you for just a minute. I remember watching it and I was like, wow. I don't know how I want to take to that. And it just took me a minute for, you know, you had to process what this girl was going through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, never mind that it is a horror. Like this is not just her making these decisions. It's a horror episode. So then when you finally get to the end of what she's like, I'm not going back. Like, I don't even care. I'm not going back. I don't care what that decision is. I'm not going back. So when you see her really just like, okay, this is where we're going. Well, this is what I'm going to be doing. And then it just like, whoa, you didn't even take one breath at it. But her friends was like, what about us? And she's looking at them like, well, what about y'all? I was like, oh, so this is okay. I see. Oh, Angelica Houston played that character at the end, voiced the character at the end. Cynthia Erivo played the Jedi for the last episode. Like these are, this is not just any voiceovers. Like I literally looked into this and a lot of them are like A-list actors that are on here.
It's amazing.
Even the episode, I just want to make sure I get it right. Because Daniel Day Kim, and there was another, there's another actor that I've seen, and I'm blanking on his name, but they all was in this episode. I believe, was it the Bandits of Golok? I believe it was the Bandits of Golok. That one was an intense episode too, because towards the end of that decision made me think of that particular episode. The second episode, wasn't it? It was just, you had to kind of be in their perspective. This is what poverty looks like. This is what these decisions is making other people do.
Yeah.
Would you have made that same decision? You know, it's just the kind of playing off the yin and the yang, you know, what's right and what's wrong. You know, you may think it's right, but am I right though, too? Do I get a say in it? Like it was so good. So
very
good.
Dope. Yeah.
Very good. For me, my favorite episode was The Pit, heavy hitting on Black, African-American. And just by leaving those people in the pit and how that one boy had to go, he climbs up. It reminded me of Batman Begins or the very last Batman, of him climbing out of coming out the pit, having to go and find people to get them the help. And that moment, that very moment of him thinking, man, I hope somebody come, but then what just happened, thrown back in the pit, that broke me. And then to see that the people, it took the people to come and find the resources to get these people out of the pit. And then at the end, not going to spoil that part, but at the end, there's one thing that happens. And then the other part is that they went ahead and built this mural for the kid, all because he was a hero to his own people. Like this stuff was, it was intense. I had to say, like, the representation in this season was absolutely stellar. I have never been that emotional about a season because it hit every point. They understood every point.
Yeah.
We also had Middle Eastern. We had Spanish, you know, Latinx community. You know, it's all this diversity, but with the one goal of what is right and what is wrong. Mm-hmm. And that was it. It was the most beautiful season. Beautiful, beautiful season. Nothing more I can say about that. It was just beautiful.
So what would you hope for in season three?
They're going to have to step their game up. Because this here, I mean, this is, this was, they literally took it to the next level. Mm-hmm. Now,
what do you think could be done? I mean, what is there? What is there that you could do to make it better?
I would say if this theme was of the right and wrong choices, keep to the themes. Figure out what can be the next theme. Maybe something more on the lines of how, oh, this would be a good one. Because how we have the High Republic and we have a cult, the Path of the Open Hand, and how is that any different than the Jedi Academy in their beliefs on how they utilizes the Force? And how the Path of the Open Hand do not like the Jedi using the Force because they feel like they're abusing the Force. So maybe they can take that and try to figure out a way to have people make those choices in understanding, well, what is right? What is wrong? Because tell you the truth, in the High Republic, they're actually doing a fantastic job of finding the balance between that. Also too, how do that, the Path of the Open Hand or just the cult in general kind of puts the effect of, if we don't abuse the Force and the Force is the free will, how is that any different than them taking a life? So are we saying it's okay for them to take a life? So I want them to really push it, like really push it, because a lot of people do not like Jedi and what they stand for. A lot of people don't, you know, are on the side of the Sith. So I need them to like really push it home, like really dive deep into their mental's head and figure out, you know, those types of differences.
There's other groups of people too who do not like the Jedi. Clone Wars season 3 episode 10, Heroes on Both Sides.
Okay.
Lex Bonateri,
and you better come through.
And Lux is basically saying, I once thought the Jedi was good. Now I think of something different. Or you've got the sisters. Mm-hmm. You know, the sister says, I once thought the Jedi, but once my parents got killed, someone just patted them on the back, hopes and prayers, and took off. Now you're out there policing around. So people feel very disenfranchised from it. You had separatists.
Come on.
And then you had people who were, you know, who are now thinking Jedi are the Martez sisters.
Yeah.
So there's another group of people who don't very much find, you know, favor with the Jedi, but
Night Sisters which is one of the things that makes
like them either,
which is one of the things that makes the relationship between Cal and Maren so poignant, right? Because it's in contrast to the traditional relationship between
direct Jedi conflict. We're not going to talk about Mother Towels and getting some dick out of Count Dooku. We're not going to talk about that right now on this show. But you're welcome, and it's there. You cannot ignore it. Okay? It is what it is. I feel like Visions, honestly, I feel like if George was still doing Star Wars, that's where he would be. I feel like Visions is the direction that George would want to go in because he's said everything he needs to say about it. And I feel like at this point, it's time to hand it over to other folks and see what they see when they look into the glass, because everybody sees something different when they look into it. I think Visions is just incredible. And it's not for everybody. It's for the intellectual. It's for the Star Wars intellectual who is willing to sit down and have a conversation with Star Wars that's bigger than this cute little adventure we're about to go on. But Visions is a whole nother animal. It's something completely different, and it makes you feel things. deeply.
As much
I
as you would
never forget.
Go ahead, Em.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I will never forget the way I felt after Akakiri. Like, that was one of the most moving things I've ever seen in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you for that gift, because
right. Season one, that first one, like, had me going. Like, and then to see it's a sister, I'm like, oh, I'm here. Like, ah, it was so unexpected. Like, they have really done something here, and it's very special. But again, it's not for everybody. I feel like this is for the debate team of Star Wars. You know who I'm talking about. Us. I'm talking about us. Like, the people who will sit there and debate at a celebration who came first, the darksaber or the lightsaber. You know what I mean? Like, those people who can tell you, you know, season 3, episode 10, heroes on both sides of the Clone Wars. No. Those people, it's for Star Wars intellectuals. It's not for the people who are here for laser swords.
But it's also the art lovers too. Okay, I will give an example. Okay, I'm very proud of the tattoo that I have on my arm. And I had a neighbor lady who nailed the exact phrase that my tattoo guy said. My neighbor lady said, and I quote, "I do not like tattoos, but yours is a work of art." And that's what my tattoo artist said. He wanted that exact type of audience. I think Visions looks for us as Star Wars people. We understand the spirit of Star Wars, okay? These artists are given this box to play in and say, guess what, guys? It doesn't count. You can make art for the sake of making art beautiful. And then that Star Wars that you've always loved, I remember seeing something about one of the studios leading up to season one and how they've always been Star Wars fans. And they just could not wait for the opportunity just to put their love of Star Wars down, but through the way that they see it through their lens. Like, I'm a photographer, and sometimes I will give people, when I'm finished, and say, look, I shot what I saw. This is what I saw. This is what your event looked like. This is what your wedding looked like through my eyes. So we as Star Wars fans get to see art. What type of art do dorks like us love? We love Star Wars art. It's pretty, and it makes us think and talk, and it's just beautiful, but yet it's for us, the Star Wars fan. It doesn't mean anything, but it's just art for art's sake. And mwah, I'm so glad. I'm grateful for it, because
yes,
we try to make, we rack our brains so much in theory and speculate, you know, and speculizing.
Yeah, speculification.
Speculation. But we spend much time and reading the books and making the connections, but now they're just saying, bitch, slow down.
Right.
Absorb this and just enjoy the beauty.
Right.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Oh, God. I don't know. I hope this next season will be great. I don't know when they're going to do it again, but I hope it'd be great.
I like your idea for it. Right. I mean, I seriously, though,
Yeah.
Someone said, what about a live action? What if you give some studios the ability to say, do live action shorts?
Ooh, I'm with that.
Cinematographer quality shorts.
That might be how
we do it. What are your own Star Wars vision? What would you do live action? Go.
Mm-hmm. Considering that they already got live action Vinestra Rowe coming on in, I believe, for the Acolytes. So that's coming in from the High Republic era. If they can do shorts of that, because we already seen live action of every single one. Probably the only one that we haven't seen a live action is Count Dooku at this point.
That's not happening.
Yeah, exactly. So if they was to do a live action of the High Republic era to kind of like bridge gaps of the timeline in that, I'm for it. I'm for it. I could see that happening.
So much fun.
Yeah. I'd want to see a musical short.
That's it. That's what I've been saying. Musical. Star Wars the musical. Where is it? I think that's a fun way to do it without pissing everybody off. Because don't nobody want to see Luke Skywalker sing I Have a Dream or whatever. So, you know, I think, you know, you can set that in any
That's what Max Rebo has been up to.
Stage.
He's getting ready to stage like a sing-along version of Vision Season 3. Sing-along with Max.
Look, I think it would be fun. I mean, in a world where we've got Jurassic Park on ice, like, you know. We got so many lame things out here that make no sense. Paw Patrol Live, like. Fuck it. Let them go out there and do whatever they want to do. Like, okay, fine. Like, it doesn't do anything to you. Like, it's for the children's. So I think it would be fun. I'm a big, like, musical. I love musical.
Me too.
I'm a fan of it. I'm here for
What's your favorite musical?
The Wiz. The Wiz. It'll probably always be The Wiz. I love that Ahsoka thinks that Dorothy looks like Diana Ross. Because I have to have that conversation. Well, Cinderella looks like this. I'm like, but Cinderella also has box braids. Never forget.
Okay.
I've only ever seen one musical.
The Queen of Blasia. I am so excited for that Descendants movie. Like, I'm not a Descendants person. I will be seated for that film.
Never seen it, but I am going to see it.
I will be seated.
Seated in it. Wherever they're playing it, I will be seated.
Right? Period. I will be seated. Thank you.
That speaking melted of, a hole into my brain that
right? It just opened so many doors. It really did. And I'm so happy. This is going to lead right into another topic. The Little Mermaid, right? Like that wouldn't be possible without Brandy Cinderella. You know what I mean? And they're doing it again with the mom and the sisters. Like, please, more of this. Please, more of this. Like, it doesn't have to look like what you think a family looks like. And I think we're moving away from that because I think more families are moving away from that. There's adoption. There's so many options now for families and what families look like and found family. And I just want to see more. I want to see more of it. Like, we watched Strange World, man. That was it. If you haven't watched Strange World, go do that. Treat yourself. What's that? It's a Disney movie. It takes place in like a fictional future. It's really good.
It is really good.
And it's really a message about environmentalism and how we need to stop killing our planet so that we can survive is the main takeaway and learn to live in harmony with the environment.
But how will rich people make more money?
That's a great question.
Don't kill the planet.
That's a great question.
How Bob will the Iger. Rich keep getting...
Where
How will the rich keep getting richer?
But I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. And like, there's this little game that the son is playing that it's kind of, it shows you like, okay, here's how the boomers would attack it. Like, here's how Gen X attacks it. Like, here's how Gen Z works with it. Like, it was so funny. It was really cute. It was really cute. And I'm just like, wow. But yeah, if you haven't seen Strange World, do that. Treat yourself for sure. But yeah, I'm so excited for The Little Mermaid. I'm really excited. Like, Hallie's doing what she got to do out here. Like, everybody ate. Like, Akani was out there.
Break up with that man.
She did. It's done. A miracle. They announced that 3 days ago.
Transformation is complete.
Right, and now her and Prince Eric are chilling in the Caribbean somewhere.
I hope so. He's cute.
He is cute.
Yeah, they picked a really good cast for this. I've been hearing nothing but great things, and I'm hearing that she did an absolute stellar job. I mean, rightfully so. Nice. She is a very professional actress and singer. So
I expect nothing less from Beyonce's proteges.
Thank you. Hello.
Okay. But yeah.
Oh my gosh. And her red carpet.
Right? That dress.
Gorgeous.
She was a sea goddess on that carpet.
The plate is clean. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing left. Yeah,
truly.
Period.
So beautiful.
I don't know much about the backstory behind it, but I know once it's out or available or however we get to watch it, maybe we'll even wait the streaming, but I know that we'll definitely give it a watch.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go see it in theaters.
Yeah, me and Ahsoka and her auntie, everybody going. We all going in.
Well, there you go. That's awesome.
They don't have to sell this film. This is a film that does not need to be sold. I'm like,
to me.
That's nice. I'm glad y'all did that.
You don't need to put out a trailer. I'm going.
You don't even need a trailer. You don't need that.
the minute I saw the doll in right. the books, I was like, okay. And yeah. and she literally takes her with her everywhere for the bath, for the sleep. So, yeah, that's adorable. She even says her name. Like it's that important.
It
when
is.
You have kids, and especially black girls or black boys, I promise you, mm-hmm. when she sees that on screen, her whole mood, everything changes. It's
yeah.
oh my God, there's someone that looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
Like she even looked at the trailer and was like, "Mommy, Ariel." I said, "There you go.
Yeah,
that's your Ariel. That's it.
It's
what else is there
beautiful.
To say?" Like this is beautiful. I'm actually, you know, she can't sit through no movie, so we'll be waiting for it on mm-hmm. Disney Plus when it comes out. Yeah. And but I do read the book. I read the book with her. So
there you go. Yeah.
I saw Jodie Benson was at the premiere.
And that's how you hold a door open for somebody, people. Take some notes. That's how you hold a door open and you put somebody over, right? Jodie Benson was so kind and classy throughout this entire process. And she's done nothing but hold Hallie up, right? She didn't once try to downplay it or anything. Like she was in it to win it. Like that's how you put somebody over. Hi, ma'am.
Hi, Ahsoka.
Who are you? What are you doing?
I'm coming here so I can
mom. Yep, I'm up here. Aww. We're talking about the mermaid. Are you going to go see the mermaid movie?
Yes.
Why?
Because, like, Kiki looks like the little mermaid.
Yeah, and so do you. And so do me. Everybody does.
We all do.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
This is my phone.
Oh, you got a phone.
Nice phone.
Look at that.
She's got a phone.
It's nicer than
mine. 6 years okay. old, bro. We are living phone. In the future. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up in a housing project about 35 minutes from here, right? I don't know. I'm also the wallpaper on the phone, but I could never imagine having a device in my hand where I could watch anything I want to watch. Like that just wasn't a reality for me. The most exciting thing that would happen in the week is the Wick Man would come down the street with eggs and milk and dry beans and rice for your house. Like that was the most exciting thing that happened in the hood in the project that I came from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
4 years old with this device in her hand, like living a life that I could never dream of.
God, I don't want to go. I'm not aging myself. I'm not even going to go into it. No, no.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
I'm the grandma of the group. So
girl, bye.
Down that road.
No. You don't want steaming up the damn podcast and all that cleavage. Come on
okay.
now.
Okay.
I can't even compete. I don't even got nothing on it. The resident sex pot over here.
Okay.
Right? I thought I was a galactic hottie. She was like, nope.
No, but still, we're talking
not
about
on my watch.
Video. Whatever. We're talking about video games. No, stay on target. Stay on target.
But yeah, no, the merchandise is great for the Little Mermaid. Please go and pick it up. You got to pick it up. It's so great for all the kids, even for yourselves. You know, I think I've actually seen a $40-something mermaid doll that they have as a collector's. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, they also, if you're a makeup fan, they have some, Ulta has like a Little Mermaid collection. They have
that I would be interested in.
Oh, that cake-worthy crop top. 8. I'm putting in my order.
But yeah, so it's definitely good, worth the watch, worth the buy. I mean, we really got to start supporting, and even after this, like, who knows what they're going to do for the next generation. You know, mm-hmm. they might just end up putting like a Latinx, they might even do a LGBTQ representation.
It's time,
you know? Like, it's time that
nice.
We start doing this, you know. So yeah, moving in the right
direction. The multiverse down people's throats, who's just different adaptations of the same character and a different theme and a variation on a theme. I mean, I'm a musician, you hear solos, variation on a theme. That's there's for all those people who get their, you know, undies wrapped around their neck. I mean, it's just another version of the same story.
Multiverses.
Is he going to pay?
In the Spider-Verse.
Oh.
Is coming out June 2nd.
Oh. Mm. Look at that segue. That was gorgeous. Mwah, well done.
Thank you. So that is another movie that I am excited for that has a lot of meaning to me because it was one of the few movies with a black main character that was shown in the place that I lived at the time. It was that and Black Panther, and that was it. So I love Miles Morales quite a bit. And the first Spider-Verse movie was really, really good. Have y'all seen it?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
It was so good. I lost my mind.
Yeah.
It fell under that piece of art. The animation style was unique.
So good.
It grabbed your attention in addition to who the characters were, but just yet it was very artistic. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it really enhanced the movie. You're like, wow, just... So, yeah, I liked it.
Definitely. I think I probably watched that more than I have watched the Spider-Man movies. Literally. Mm-hmm.
Well, I grew up with the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, so I used to watch those all the time.
38-year-old Spider-Man in high school, yep.
He looked good to me.
Spider-Man 3 came out and he had the dark hair, I was like, ooh, what happened?
Spider-Man cartoons in the 80s, because they had Spider-Man, I think there was one cartoon of Spider-Man.
Firestorm, and Iceman.
And Iceman, the three of them together were on a series. That's it, thank you.
Okay. It was like the Spider Friends or something?
It was the Spider Friends, yep, I remember those. Yep.
They used to show it for some reason.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know why they were showing it or what channel was on. They would just show it all the time.
I've seen it in eons, but that was the one Spider-Man I remember cartoon as a kid all the time.
Mm. I remember the 90s Spider-Man where Peter would just be swinging through that like CGI in New York that had like three buildings in it.
Yeah. On a loop.
The same three buildings.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, wow, this is amazing. CGI is so cool.
Little did we know.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Well, speaking of things for the children's, Ahsoka, what did you think about Young Jedi Adventures? The story with Kai and Nubs, your friends. You like them? You like the girl with the purple hair? She's a Pantoran.
I see.
Wow.
Oh, you got it up on there.
Right up on the screen.
What do you like about it?
Nice job.
They fight.
You like that they fight?
They fight the bad guys.
They fight the bad guys.
It's when the good guys were little. And the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Has Master Yoda.
But Master Yoda is in
when
it?
When all of the kids
were little. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. And they're all working with Master Yoda?
I love it. I love Young Jedi Adventures. Like, it really gets back to, like, that basic understanding of right and wrong. And let's grow. Like, you know, people change. And, yeah, it's hard for me to watch it and not cry.
Aww.
Because it's like, that's her Star Wars right now.
Right.
Speaking to her experience on a level that makes sense. You know, when people are mean to us, we're not mean back.
That's right. I will be watching it soon.
We could all live by, right?
So cute. It's really adorable if you haven't seen it. Like, and the animation's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That I can agree on. Yeah. They really did it with that. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get box braids in there. We get a bonnet. We get all kinds of stuff. I'm just like, let's go!
Space bonnets.
Yes, space bonnet.
And see, and that's one of the great things about now with the writing. I hope this writing is straight. And I hope they come to the conclusion that they need the solution that they need to be. I hope
writers get their money.
Right, because they need to
pay them.
Because what I've been seeing is that the writers that are within the Lucasfilm they are actually literally making all those types of decisions. You know, when we see a particular character, they're going in depth. Like, they're like, all right, well, how is her hair supposed to be? Okay. Oh, is it, you know, for a Black girl, how many times do we change her hair? How many times do, you know, like, those are very significant when we are watching these shows, or even just looking at comics, or, you know, reading a book.
Come on.
I, especially when I read the Art of the High Republic, Kristen Baver's book, the whole, you know, architect that went into creating the Jedi, Keeve Trennis, they took delicate care, especially when it came to her hair. And I thought that that was amazing.
This show was incredibly amazing. Vocal about Keeve Trennis and her appearance. Absolutely.
See? Literally. So it's so important, and I'm happy that they're doing that now. You know, literally taking care of all the characters that we're seeing up on screen to make sure that, you know, even young girls, young boys can actually see themselves when they are watching this show, or any show for that matter. It's so important. I promise you, it's so important when you just see your child just happen to just stand there and nothing else matters because they're looking at themselves and say, "Mommy, who's that?" And it just melts your heart because you're like, I know who that is. I can teach you about that, you know? So yeah, I can't wait to watch it with her. Like, I'm pretty sure she'll sit there and watch the whole thing. Right now she's into Shrek and Puss in Boots, so I can't even get her off of it if I tried.
No argument about Shrek. Look, Shrek 8, okay? It still works.
Still works.
I love it because Shrek it kind of challenges that idea of everything's perfect, right? Because perfect isn't a real thing. It's a lie. There's no such thing as perfect. And that's something I'm always pushing here, too.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to close on our last topic because we're damn near at 2 hours. Yeah. We're going the distance tonight, apparently. But we had a lot of things to cover. We had a lot to do. So there was a tweet that came out saying that Natalie Portman was never contacted to come back to Lucasfilm.
Not surprised.
Thoughts from the group?
Not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I feel like it's unfortunate, but
why is it a surprise? Why?
Because of what she did to Keira Knightley when they
what
were
did she
in
do
the
to pre-book? Keira Knightley?
Oh man, Keira Knightley was like at least like 9-10 years old at the time. Yo, she went ahead and humiliated that girl in front of everybody. And George Lucas was like, oh, okay, I got something for you. And then that the last episode 3, you didn't see her that much because she was pregnant. So he made sure to sit herself down and not be around the handmaidens too much because Keira Knightley played one of her handmaidens. Play one of her shadows, and yeah, whatever had happened behind the scenes, she went ahead and humiliated that girl. So I'm not surprised that they didn't call her back. She even almost did the same thing in the Marvel. It took them a long time before she decided to come back too for the new Thor movie. She has a history of, I hate to say it, but she has a history of using white privilege in a way of embarrassing people and thinking that she is better than them and better than the next person. She has a very terrible attitude. And now that she is a mother, see how things change? Now that she's a mom, she's changed. Now she's like dumbed that down. It's too late. You already burnt those bridges and nobody don't forget, you know? So, no, not surprised. Not surprised by it.
Interesting. I learned something new.
Me too.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Exactly like It's unfortunate. Yeah, I'm aware of the bullying accusations and what happened on the set. It's unfortunate that she didn't get a spot in Kenobi. And it could be because of what happened and her attitude. But I also know that for years she wasn't very positive about Star Wars. Right. And it's such a shame because we don't have a whole lot of female icons in the Star Wars space, right? And I know for a fact if they announced her at Celebration, like the people roof would blow it. Off. The roof would blow off of it. So I think it's kind of sad that she would say that, but also the other side that she's not telling is like, she was adverse to Star Wars for many years. Like, I think there is a world where we could do a Handmaiden miniseries and we don't have to have Keira Knightley come back if she doesn't want to. We can recast and do Sabe with somebody else. Cause I don't think it's that detrimental. But it is sad that there doesn't seem to be a way to reconnect with that that avenue. Because I think it's really, over the last 3 years, I would say she's tried really hard to reconnect with the fan base through late night spots and Saturday Night Live and all of that stuff. So I think that she might feel differently today. But I do think it's important to be responsible at the same time. But it is sort of heartbreaking as a Padme fan, right? It's hard because, like I said, we don't have a whole lot of female icons and Carrie is no longer with us, right? So we're missing that piece of leadership for the women in Star Wars. And thank God for Ashley Eckstein, or we'd have nothing at all. Like, there's no connection to us anymore. No one's really talking to us. But it's really sad. And I'd really like to see Portman do better and maybe try to repair that relationship. Because it's time for bed, right? So learning apps are the only things that are available at this time. But thank you for asking. Anyway, sorry about that. I'm mothering. But it's hard when the mother of Star Wars won't come back to Star Wars. Like I'd like to think that there's a way. Like if there's a way to bring Harrison Ford back after all his shenanigans, like there's a way. But people have to be willing to admit they were wrong and say they're sorry, and folks have got to be willing to give folks a chance.
Yeah.
But I do think Kenobi was probably her opportunity and she missed that window. Shit. Right. So I think maybe a Handmaiden opportunity might be the next step for her. And I would love to see an 8-episode miniseries on Sabe investigating her death and doing that comic book theory. Because Vader is just a guy in a suit. We don't need Hayden. We don't need Hayden to come back. I'm always checking for Hayden. Like, 12
you
year old
sure
man.
Are. You better believe you are.
What Rachel Bilson said.
I know it lives forever rent free, though. It's like, ooh, would it even be worth it?
And she doubled down on it. I knew she was.
What did she say? Did she say it was small too?
No. After we had that talk, last episode, she doubled down. After that, from the comment.
Oh, she missing Bill Hayden.
Oh yeah. Because then she found out that he has a girlfriend.
Who?
Bill Hader.
Well, I mean,
yeah, Ali Wong has a new. She's dating Ali Wong.
Yeah,
Hader.
Good for her. Mm-hmm. Well, she did all that free press about his dick, but who ain't gonna call him up?
Okay.
We find out he landed down like that. You just told the whole street. The whole street team. Such to go mess. Outside.
She's a mess.
You just tipped your hand to everybody. But I think a 8-episode miniseries on Sabe investigating what happened to Padme would really be dope and great for female representation. I think our next opportunity for that will probably be Acolyte. And I want to go on record as saying 2 years ago that Acolyte was going to eat. Okay. And when it hits, don't tag me. Don't even tag me because I've been told y'all. Thank you.
I Acolyte is the project I have been the most excited for this whole time.
Absolutely. Just that dark energy and behind it, and just so much this character. Ah, something we never see.
And every decision they have made so far about the show that they've released information about has just only made me more excited. Like, come on, Carrie Ann Moss is in this thing. Like, how can any of it be wrong? Like, Amanda Stenberg, like the casting of Amanda Stenberg.
Right. And the way what she ate that Padme bust down.
Thank you.
Truly. Yeah.
Like, she came in to show out. She was like, nah, figure I'd come in and do a little cosplay. Nah, you knew what she was doing. This is great PR. Like, great PR.
Yeah.
Jodie Turner Smith Pacey.
Literally.
Is in the building.
Literally.
Mrs. Pacey is in the building.
Nice.
Literally. I can't wait.
Period.
I can't wait. Like,
they went and got some of the baddest sisters. I'm like, this is it. I don't want to hear nothing.
And our sisters is bad. Like, actual bad.
Baddies.
Like,
yes. Actual baddies.
Oh my God.
The only thing that probably could have been better would have been a Night Sister series. So I'm really excited. This is going to eat. No notes.
You never know. You never know. That might happen. Listen,
even Night Sister series. Wow.
Even
Mother Towson's not dead.
Tales of Mother Towson.
She ain't dead. I don't think she's dead.
There's definitely a story there. I mean, come on. Like, that's money right there.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us one season, one good one. 8 episodes, call it a day. I'm ready.
I still maintain.
I'll take it animated, Bad Batch style.
Killing Ventress was the worst mistake, because now here we are. We're here at this point in time, where Asajj Ventress could take the stage as a main character like Bo-Katan did in Mandalorian and take us into the future, and she can't because they wasted that. Shame on you.
And it's the same thing how they did with Maul. Like, we first see him, and what happens, like, the first 5-10 minutes, he's gone. I was like, what in the world just happened here? Who made this decision? And then Asajj Ventress, I was like, what are we doing? Who made this decision? So it's like I had to read. That's the sad part, is that you have to read the books
to get
what you need. Now, if you're really going to do it, well, do the Count Dooku, because that's just it's a script book anyway. You might as well just go ahead and put that as a live action, animated movie if you want. Come it's on. Nothing but dialogue.
The Maul book was just the Maul book was just fair. I don't know how you could bring that Maul book to life.
Well, they did it in a way where, because when I read it, I was like, oh, okay, so we're getting like the before the prequel even,
happened. Long before prequels even happened, right? When the Emperor hit him away,
right. And you kind of on that whole thing of, okay, is this Palpatine or not? Like, it was kind of hitting, and then you finally realized what was really going on. I mean, they kind of redeemed it when they did the Clone Wars, because if down to the final season, I know, I'm just saying, they kind of did it, and he really expressed how he really felt, about Palpatine and the things that he was doing. I think we did get enough of Maul in his story, but I totally agree that Asajj Ventress, come on, man. Like, y'all could have did better. It could have been better. Like, we have to stop killing characters off when we, attach ourselves to something and then you want to rip it out from us and without giving us the full story or, at least making her, become bigger. Or make her character become what it is, to be this on the side of the good and the bad. Because all of that was so superb in the Count Dooku book and all the way to the very end. I mean, I don't know.
I feel like Ventress never truly reached her full potential before she was cut out.
Okay.
She had more to give. And she did the episode when they captured the girl who turned out to be the princess, like, there was so much there, right? about what feminism is and what it means to help your sisters and what it means to do the right thing because the right thing because the right thing. You know, they left so much on the table. All right, I'm done. It's what? Midnight. I gotta put my mask on. I gotta be at the gym.
All righty.
I love you all dearly. Listener, this has been something. I don't know what this has been. I thought it was Sisters with Sabers. It is not. It is something else. It's something new. Thank you for listening. I appreciate
exciting
it.
Exciting and new.
Right?
Come aboard.
There you go.
We're expecting you.
If you want to send me very microscopic dick pics, you can do so at Blurred Girl Jedi.
Please don't, because then she'll send them to me.
But know that I'm going to send them to all my friends, and we're going to laugh at you collectively. Know that that's happening. So please stop sending them. Keita, let me send you a photo.
Don't.
Send a photo of what? I'm sorry, because I got to get
exactly.
I texted it to you.
Okay, I'll get it.
Final thoughts. You told her to
sit on
her.
I said, "Sit on what? Where? Sit on where?" Hi. I did not contribute very much to this episode because I am playing Zelda. I just got hit by a horse. I'm fine. But
oh, you were awesome. You were like right there. Topic change, and you know, you were keeping it in the line. So
Star Wars is great. I'm super behind on all my Star Wars stuff, but it was nice talking to everybody, and I hope that phase two of the Sisterverse, the SCU, is good.
I love
we
it.
Need to come up with a new podcast name though.
Oh, is it my go? I'm sorry. Yeah, I really gotta go. Hey guys, it's Keita again. Please check me out on the Spotify or on the YouTube. I did do the watch and review of Star Wars Vision Season 2, so just please check me out. Also, I have the Resistance Book Club. I'm sorry, because she's really need to go to bed. The Resistance Book Club, I do all the Star Wars books and comic books, as well as Black authors and other POC authors. So just go ahead and check me out. It was fun. I had a great time. Great meeting you guys. I will see you again next time. I really gotta go. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right.
All right, well, I'll say goodbye. I'm Dez, Madam of Mandalore. You can find me at Sithy Minutes. That is the podcast that I've been a part of for the last couple of years. And you can actually check out our reviews of season 3 of The Mandalorian, where Andres and I kind of go back and forth, and you know, we talk about our speculations, etc. It was actually a good listen. On Twitter, I really don't want to be on Twitter. I really don't want to be, but there's so many people on there that I miss. So if you do are interested in checking me out, you can find me at Bimbo Catan. And if not, there's other places you can find me, but this is a family podcast, so we won't go there. So we'll move on to M.
Oh my God. I'm done.
Hi, everybody. It's you can find me on Twitter at Hutslea, HUTTSLEIA, 18 plus only. And I encourage you to check out my other friends at Pink Milk, That Gay Jedi, and Shootin' the Poodoo.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you guys so much. We did it. Whatever this is, we did that. So proud of you. We'll see you next month. Love you.
Bye.
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 Ahsoka says bye.
Bye.
Bye, sweetie.
Thank you for listening. And now, as a special treat, here is the unabridged version of the Catwoman movie theme song, which just eats and screams, "This is a Black Catwoman movie." Enjoy.